Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalm, and our lesson will come from Psalm number 4. Hear the word of the Lord. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. Our gospel lesson, our New Testament lesson, rather, comes from the book of Acts, Acts 12, and then continuing to 19. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. Brothers and sisters, this is the good news. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for walking beside us, for caring for us, for guiding us all these many days. We ask, Lord, that you'll help us and keep us. Lead us and guide us through your word. May it light our path and light a fire within our hearts so that we will better serve you in our world, so that we will be the hands and feet of compassion, of our Lord's compassion in this world. Wondrous Lord, be with us in this day and the next, as we hear your word, as we listen to what you are saying through your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I hope you've had at least a productive week filled with sunshine, or at least the earlier parts were filled with sunshine. But the fact is, in our scripture today, there is a moment of blessed, wondrous sunshine in the life of a man. As we look and see Peter and John addressing the crowd, something has obviously happened, of course, that drew the crowd in. Peter and John simply go to the temple as normally as they could to go and pray. As they arrive, they encounter a man we don't know too much about, but there are certain pieces that we can draw out of his story. This man is a regular. He is a regular person sitting outside the gates of the temple, asking for alms. As we look at the fact that people would just lay him there outside the temple, we can infer that it's just people doing this, not necessarily his family who do this, which lead us to understand that he is either on his own or has very few people he can rely on. Sure, we could spin a yarn that would rival a bestseller about where and what his family is and is doing. But all that is mere speculation. The fact is, he is sitting outside the gate, sitting and waiting in this funnel of people as they go in to pray. He is relying on their compassion for him, for his day-to-day sustenance. There are, of course, other places he could have been. He could have been at the gates of the city, at the entry spots to the markets. But each of those would have their own drawbacks. Whereas the temple, people are heading to praise and worship. Their hearts should be set on looking after the least of these as God had commanded. In their minds would be God's commands to look after the lesser of the world. And so their heartstrings, their world would be more inclined to help him. But then he meets Peter and John in his place of lameness. Peter and John have nothing physically to give him. They have no alms. If we look into Acts a little further, we see that the church behaved in such a way that all things, all possessions were held in common. All goods were distributed to any who had a need. Peter and John would not have had money. They would have simply had their hands and their abilities to be God's people. They didn't have things and possessions to give him. But in this moment, when Peter looks upon him, he has that Christian of qualities, compassion. He looks on the man and feels compassion for his situation, for the fact that this man does not choose to be there. He must be there. He does not choose to sit there and rely on humanity for food to eat. He does not choose this. But Peter has compassion and tells him to rise up, to stand up. And instead of just standing up, the man walks and leaps around the temple. He goes walking and leaping and praising God. The fact is, he's doing all of this in and throughout the temple. Now, take a minute and consider all that is going on as he's walking and leaping. All the people who have walked past him, put money in his alms bowl, put money in his hand, all these years, now see him walking and leaping around. And of course, they have questions. Now, when we begin our scripture, we find that this man is clinging to Peter and John, or is hanging on them. After seeing him walking and leaping and seeing him cling to Peter and John, a crowd, of course, has gathered. They are confused and wondering. Understand that if suddenly a person who you had known to be lame suddenly is walking and leaping, you'd want to figure out what had happened. But also understand that not everyone is going to assume a more spectacular approach to this. There are going to be the doubters, the naysayers, who want to know what kind of scam has been perpetrated here. Has he hoodwinked us all these years? So the crowd is gathering around Peter and John, gathering around them with their very natural human responses to what is going on. And all of a sudden, in this place of collective attention, Peter stands up. You see, often in miracles, we get lost in the miraculous moment and forget that what happens in those moments is also usually a teaching moment. When Jesus heals and shows compassion on the Sabbath, is the conversation just about the healing on the Sabbath? No. It's about how Jesus has compassion on the Sabbath. He's willing to have compassion in spite of the legalism of the Pharisees. He calls into question the fact that the Pharisees have compassion on an animal on the Sabbath, untying an ox, untying a donkey on the Sabbath so they can go and eat, and yet will not have compassion on the Sabbath for someone who has suffered for so long to be healed. So often, miracles spark uncomfortable conversations, uncomfortable moments, and Peter here takes hold of the crowd's questions, takes hold of all of their wonderings as they gather, and he speaks. If we look at what he has to say, he begins with a very, one might even say, harsh critique of the crowd. The observation he makes in this moment is, you are the same crowd that rejected Christ. You are the crowd that called for Christ to be crucified. You are the same people who chose a murderer over Christ. He doesn't mince words with his sermon. He doesn't dance about what has happened. He gives credit where credit is due and blame where it belongs. He gives all credit not to he and John for this man being healed, but he gives credit to Christ for what Christ has wrought, what Christ has done. But he is also willing to place the correct place of rejection when the crowd rejected Christ. Listen again to his words. You handed him over and rejected in the presence of Pilate. He continues, but you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. Peter goes on. He points in this moment to the rejection of Christ and the power of Christ in the same moment. He is showing them, pointing to them, the various issues that they have created. His sermon is about how the people rejected Christ and now are amazed by Christ. But he ends not with condemnation, not with, well, you guys can go. He ends with an appeal. An appeal, a cry. He asks for them to repent and turn to God. Think about how absolutely staggering this is. The crowd has seen the miracle and believes not in God, but in men. And then these men, Peter and John, are willing to challenge them and lay the rejection of Christ at their feet. But in the same matter, instead of hammering them further and letting them get lower and lower, Peter has compassion upon them and appeals to the crowd, appeals to them to repent and turn from what they were. Imagine how easy it would have been for Peter to lash out further at them, to just keep on pushing and hammering away. Think about how easy he could have been impressed by his own abilities instead of giving true credit to Christ. This same crowd has seen the many miracles that Jesus has done, and yet still they rejected him. Still they chose a murderer to be set free rather than Christ. But instead of turning his back on them, instead of hitting them and hitting them and hitting them with his words, Peter has compassion upon them. Instead of lowering himself, debasing himself and the God he serves, instead of walking away, he calls on them to return. To return to God. Peter is faced with both a challenging moment, but also one that is full of temptation. Temptation to set aside his ego. Temptation to place credit with God, and instead of feeding the beast of anger and frustration with this crowd, he shows compassion and love on them. When we look at what Peter has to say, we also need to understand and look at all that the people of Jerusalem have done to Peter. Peter isn't just a person delivering a sermon. He is a person who has seen his Lord assassinated. He is a person who has been harried and chased, who has run as hard as he can. And yet here he sits, having compassion on this crowd. This moment is about having compassion when you should have none to spare. It's about doing God's work, even though everything in your personal life would push you to not. It's about being humble and pointing the way to God. It would have been very easy for Peter to respond in very negative ways to the sudden turning around and paying attention of the crowd. But instead of condemning, Peter calls for repentance. Instead of lowering himself, he seeks to encourage, seeks to help others raise themselves up. We need to remember that it is our place to call others to repentance, not our place to condemn. It is our place to have compassion. It is our place to remember and point the way to the way and reason we are able to do everything we are able to do. It is not because of us, but all because of Christ. Brothers and sisters, may we go forth and show the way for all who are lost. Amen.